Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Renegade Radio. I'm your host, Andy Lowe, and we're here sponsored by Renegade Concepts and the good folks at Atlanta Business Radio X. Another exciting show for you guys today. We're going to get into some topics about leadership development and how to build a quality team. But before we do that, let's meet the guest and the expert panel that's going to talk about that today. We have two companies. We have Managed Mobility, and from Managed Mobility, we're joined by Cameron Souter and Mike Orzechowski. Did I get that right, Mike?
You got it.
We're going to call you Mike O for the rest of the show, as I understand that.
Enough.
That's how
easy
we go.
Enough.
All right, good. And then we have some folks from IDR, Internal Data Resources. We have Courtney Manning and Eric French. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Thank you.
All right, well, fantastic. Well, let's meet these panels and find out who they are and a little bit about the businesses. I want to start with the Managed Mobility guys. So who wants to take the helm? Mike O, you going to lead us off?
Sure, yeah, I'll do it.
Tell us a little bit about Managed Mobility, who you guys are and what you guys do.
Sure. My name is Mike Orzechowski. I'm the Director of Strategic Programs for Managed Mobility. We are a telecom consulting company based here in Alpharetta, Georgia. We've been around for about 8 years or so. And what we specialize in is in telecom lifecycle management. So you guys, most of the businesses out there have multiple carriers, whether it's Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, so on and so forth. They also have wireline carriers. So when you have multiple vendors like that, you may have assets that are located throughout the United States. You have, you know, wireless air cards, you have tablets, Blackberries, iPhones. Then you have that, you multiply times four with all the different carriers. Well, how do you manage all that? So what we do is we build our customers a dedicated asset management system that allows them to track all their assets across department, device type, location, division. And then we give them a reporting system to easily automate a lot of the processes they do manually to get all the dedicated reporting for their telecom lifecycle. And then what we do next is we get into telecom expense management. It's one thing to manage your assets and manage your inventory, but what about managing your expenses across multiple carriers? You have three different billing types, wireline, wireless. That's another thing that we do, especially when it comes to wireline. We work with a lot of our customers, and they have hundreds and hundreds of vendors. Well, how do you manage that? So we build them a system, a customized system that allows them to manage all their vendors, manage all their assets, do multi-carrier procurement all in one place. And then what we do is we provide ROI analysis and details to where we do optimization services. So we work on bill processing, audit, and optimization. We're not a software company. We don't provide them a software and say, here you go. But we manage the entire process and make sure that we do dispute management on their behalf with all the carriers, and then provide them back with ROI. And then the last thing we do is we help them manage those devices. We do security and policy enforcement. We do whitelisted applications, blacklisted applications, remote device wipe, remote kill. And then we get into application management. How are these devices being used? If you're a hospital or a university or an educational thing, what are the applications that are driving your business? And we help manage the entire lifecycle.
Wow, that is a whole lot of stuff.
It is.
I'm glad we recorded this because I'm going to go back and listen to all of that. So here's one that you said right off the bat that was interesting to me, dispute resolution. Man, when it comes to telecommunication, I feel like I have made a career out of dispute resolution. Yeah, what do you guys do in that regard?
Well, it's like one thing for our system. So when we work with our customers, we say, you know, what do you guys want to know about? Is it every time, you know, you spend over a dollar on international long distance, or is it every time you go over your data plans? Whatever those discrepancies are, we flag our system to actually catch those things. Then we can either take internal actions, or if we find billing errors, I mean, very, very often the carriers will bill incorrectly. So our system and we have a whole team of auditors that actually will go into the bill and actually find these disputes and actually go and manage it on behalf of the client, and then provide them back with ROI. And that's where Cameron Souter comes in. So Cameron's our director of telecom expense management, and him and his whole team of auditors are the brains behind the operation.
That's a great segue. Hi, this is Cameron Souter. And like Mike mentioned, I'm the director of TEM, and many of you are probably new to the acronym TEM. It's been around for a long time, about 15 years. But essentially what it is it's a subset of technology management. It's helping customers not only find billing errors, but optimizing their future rate plans. So it's saving customers money by making sure that not only are they getting the best services, best services and plans, but also that they're paying the correct prices for them per their contracts.
Now, is that just for big companies, or is as a smaller company, is that something that I can benefit from?
Smaller companies can definitely benefit from it. In fact, you know, even personal cell phone bills, if you get your cell phone bill and you've got maybe a family plan, you've got four or five lines on there, we typically come across a little bit of savings just on a, you know, a five-line plan. So a business that has 20, 50, 500, or 1,000, even though they may not be spending as much as a larger corporation, operation, there's probably some level of billing errors, and we can possibly help them asset track those devices as well.
And tell us a little bit about how user-friendly your service is, because when I think management tools, I often think, wow, I'm going to need a management tool just to manage the management tool. You know, we've seen that with CRMs, for example. So tell us about how you guys make the process really easy for your clients.
So the first thing we do is in the implementation is we write up a project plan and several process documents. We essentially walk into a customer and we say, hey, what are your pain points? What are your hassles? What is bothering you from day to day? We write up then a solution with its own project plan and set of resolutions with timetables, deliverables, and all of the resources. Typically, we tell a customer we do about 90% of the work on our side, 10% is on them, but all that really is just filling out documents, introducing us to their telecom carriers. We handle the rest.
Yeah, and to add to that, it's more about asking the right questions as far as how are your customers, how are you ordering your devices, how are you tracking your assets, how are you pulling your reporting? Do you have four or five or six people every day that are spending hours upon hours a week pulling these manual reports? And at the end of the day, how much is that costing your company? So by going to a managed services like we offer, we automate the entire process. We do all the hard work on their end, and then we back it up with hard ROI savings to enable them to not only save money, but improve employee productivity as well.
Are you finding that companies are partway down the road with this, at least when you run into them, or are there just a lot of companies out there that really have no idea? It's just kind of, hey, get a cell phone and get a number and put it on your business card, and here's some apps that you may want to plug into.
Yeah.
What are you finding out there?
It's a very interesting mix. You'd be surprised at how much the Fortune 500 still tracks all of their phone lines, thousands and thousands of inventory pieces of, you know, line items and cell phones and desk phones and laptops and air cards and now tablets. Most of them have no TEM program. In fact, it's been around for about 15 years, but it's still considered somewhat of a niche market. It's growing. It's growing phenomenally. But most companies look at it as sort of I have my own in-house telecom resources. I have my own analysts. I have a telecom department. Why would I need to outsource this? In almost every situation, almost every time we walk into that situation, we can basically show them additional savings from audit and optimization. We can show them an application that can track all of their assets. And you'd be surprised at how many companies still use spreadsheets for everything. They literally have hundreds of thousands of lines, if not millions of lines of telecom inventory in Excel and nothing else. And they just whittle it down day in, day out, week by week. What we do is we walk in and we go, you know what took you 15 hours this week? We can do it in 5 minutes.
Yeah, and another thing to add to that is look at technology. Look at telecom as a whole. Every single day there's new devices and new technology coming out. So how do you keep up with it? A lot of these companies, they don't have the IT resources. They may not have the telecom know-how, the expertise. Well, that's where Managed Mobility comes in. We help these companies. We help make recommendations on how they should be using their telecom program, what rate plans, what carriers they should be using. We help them negotiate their contracts. A big piece that we do is a value added, no additional charge, is we help them create corporate policies for their devices. How are they being used? If you're with a carrier that has, you know, a limit to data, being able to lock that device down and make sure that you're not going over with data usage. So what we do is we help them become more efficient. And right now we do this every day from small businesses with 150 devices to Fortune 500 companies. We work with the DOD. We work with a lot of big companies. I don't want to list them on the air, but we help them save money and enhance their productivity and get a grasp of their telecom program. So when they go to negotiate that next contract, the better they have their arms around their program and their spend, they can budget more accurately and ultimately save a whole lot of money.
Well, what do you do with such a technology-savvy, you know, world these days where now you have people not depending on you to give them the device, but they're bringing their own? You know, they're early adopters. They're going out there and grabbing the new tablets and the new phones, and they want to put them on the network.
Yeah, that's a very hot topic, and I'm glad you brought it up. It's called the bring your own device or individual liable, and essentially it's come to the point where, you know, employees don't want to carry around two devices. They don't want to have one for work and one personal because they're so robust nowadays, they can do everything they need to do on one device, whether it be a smartphone or a tablet or some, you know, new sort of notebook / PDA thing that's a cross between the two. And what we do is we help the company manage it by giving them sort of a remote insight into the devices. So the employee controls the choice of the device as long as it meets security restrictions and things like that. But they will pay the bill. They handle the inventory themselves. It's their device. and the company may want to give them a stipend to pay for it, maybe a some sort of bonus to help cover the cost of it. And then our application and our services help them see how those employees are actually using those devices.
Yeah, one thing I'd like to add to that is the first thing we do is we ask questions. Well, why are you going to BYOD? The top three reasons are A, they don't have the IT people in-house to manage it. Most importantly, they want to cut costs. And B, freedom of choice. You know, most of these organizations out there are giving out devices. Well, by allowing an employee to bring their one device that they know, they're familiar with it, it's tied to enhanced employee productivity and everything else. But there's three primary things. And 50% of the organizations that go BYOD, the employee is 100% liable. 25% of the time, they give a stipend. So they may say, okay, we're going to give you $60 a month for your bill. And then 20% of the time, they make the employee go each and every month and say, okay, this is business, this is personal, this is business and personal. And it's a mundane task. So one of the solutions that we have is a product called Bill Certifier, where we take the individual's bills, we upload it into our system, and then every month they just go and they click business, personal. But once you do it the first time, it's automatically saved. So each and every month it gets easier and easier and easier. So then the company then has a better breakdown of what is actually being used for business and what's being used for personal. They use that data for tax purposes. And in some cases, if they're given a stipend, say $70 to an employee, they start looking at this data and go, wait a minute, we could probably give away $40 as a stipend because that's really how our devices are being used. Or we can then negotiate, you know. So it allows them better insight into how their telecoms being managed, allows them to be able to manage their expense reimbursement process a whole lot easier. And then last but not least, we work as a consulting, you know, firm or partner to help them create a policy that's going to best suit their needs. Because if you're bringing devices to an enterprise account, it's accessing a server. So that device needs to be secure. What happens if that employee leaves the company or that device gets lost or stolen? That's where we bring in mobile device management solutions like Zenprise, AirWatch, MobileIron that allow them to manage that device in the case of an employee leaving or it gets lost or stolen, where they can selectively wipe that device and protect all their corporate critical data.
Now, I know you guys have a special relationship with Sprint, but as we're talking about bringing your own device and some of these things and negotiating carrier bills, obviously you have reached to work with other carriers. Is that right?
Absolutely. In fact, we've been very successful for a number of years by working with some specific carriers, but to be a truly global, you know, agnostic, quote-unquote, company, we really have to have those relationships with both global and domestic carriers. And we need to be able to do what's best for our clients, so we're able to work with every carrier regardless of their billing format, regardless of their contract negotiations protocols, regardless of the account teams.
Yeah, and a big piece of that is even small businesses, many small businesses are global. So we started off our business way back when just being a Sprint partner. Now we've expanded to multi-carrier, and now we're doing global telecom expense management. So our system can actually do language transfers to where, you know, if you're in India, you log onto the system and actually be in that language. So we're having to work with global providers, start working, you know, creating these partnerships to do everything we do domestically, but on a global level. And we're having tremendous success, and it's all through our partner network and having the expertise and experience that we have to be able to bring those solutions to our customers and help them manage their global telecom program. So what was once just mobility, now it's mobility and wireline, and now to an international and global level.
Well, as you talk about growing a company internationally and globally like that, obviously it's important to have strong leadership. You got to build the right team. And so I want to bring you guys back into the conversation on that in just a couple minutes. Before I do, can you hang out for a few minutes and let me bring Eric and Courtney into the conversation?
Please do. Certainly.
Awesome. So Eric, Courtney, you guys are from Internal Data Resources, or IDR. Tell us a little bit about you guys and what you do.
Well, IDR was founded 13 years ago. It's a company. We do IT staffing. We started here in Atlanta, and we soon grew to other markets, Nashville, Washington, D.C., and also Dallas. And what we provide basically is IT staffing. We help our customers source and select the very best IT talent that's available for them to meet their needs. So, you may ask, well, why? Well, what you have within the IT markets, I mean, what Mike and Cameron are doing are wonderful things. And all of these ideas and concepts hinge on having the right people to execute these ideas. Any successful company really started with an idea that may or may not be different than others, but ultimately what will lead to its success is its ability to identify and retain the very best people, especially within IT. And what we're seeing is a perfect storm that's brewing. So you've got companies who have cut back, just like Mike was saying, they're They have archaic systems, spreadsheets, but yet the culture and the demands of business are putting them in a position to rely more and more, to cut cost, asking for more, automate more, so they can either do that themselves or have another company do it. Whatever company provides that solution, they're going to have to rely on IT, technology. And it is changing so rapidly that it's very difficult for companies to keep up with it, to mirror what is required to stay competitive with what they have available in terms of their teams and the skill sets available to their teams. So what companies are looking for more and more is to partner with an IT staffing partner, really. I say vendor, but it becomes a partnership, to be able to help them source. And when I say source the very best, that is absolutely key. So what you have now with this talent war that's brewing is that the more companies are automating, they've been forced to cut back. Now you have our universities churning out fewer and fewer computer science and technical degrees. You have a limit on the visas. So companies are literally starting to fight over the very best IT talent. And it's getting downright nasty in some markets where you have 1 to 2% unemployment. That's basically full employment. Anybody that wants to work is working, despite what we hear on the news. So they have to seek and retain quality companies that are going to help them source the very best candidates. Now, we can go into how we source, and a lot of that's recruiting 4.0, and I can talk about that later. But also what we do is help them select the very best candidates. So it's one thing to source them. It's another thing to pick the right person. Some companies have a pretty mature and evolved selection process. Others do not. And really where we get involved is basically we consult with them and help them where we can devise a strategy to identify and hire the very best people. Because A players want to fit in. A players want to have impact. They want to be needed. The last thing you want to do is to make a placement for placement's sake, only to have that person and that company find out 3, 6, 9 months later that it was a poor fit, either technically or culturally. You have a disaster on your hands, and I've read anywhere between 3 and 10 times the amount of the salary is the true cost of having to replace that person. So we really get involved in the sourcing and the selection of IT talent, and that can come in the form of solutions of contract to hire, permanent placement, really all three we're able to do. Now, what's different about how we do it, it's some people call it old school. A lot of companies, staffing companies, are moving to what are called a call center model, which is huge hubs of recruiters that just bang out calls. And those hubs could be here. They could be overseas. Some companies have a hybrid. We have what is called a local market approach. So we have account managers whose job it is to thoroughly understand not just the technical requirements of the job, but the cultural requirements too. What's the vision? What's the values? What's the direction that this organization's going? Because A players are going to want to know about that as much, if not more, than what's being done. And so, you know, sometimes we'll have a customer that will say, here's a job description, you know, go find me this person. And we have to educate them that a job description is about 10% of what goes into this. We've got to do some research here. Let's figure out what's really going on. Is this a backfill? Is this a new position? Why? What's the project? What are you guys trying to accomplish? Where are the values? What's the purpose of this organization? What are you trying to get done? And that's really going to allow us to source the very best people. They're going to want to know those things. They'll actually want to know about money, about usually ranked fourth or fifth when it comes to the priorities of what they're looking for. Who am I going to be working with? How serious is this company about IT? Is it a byproduct or is it what they do? Those are things the very best technical people want to know. And the very best technical people are sought after every single day. They're getting calls from headhunters, multiple calls a day. And what's going to allow us, our call, our approach to them to stand out amongst the others, is that we do have a very deep understanding of what our customers are trying to accomplish, and we can relay it back to that candidate and mirror or overlap what they're trying to accomplish as an individual. That match has to be there. There has to be what we call alignment, or it's not going to be an effective placement in the long term. And we've been very successful doing that. Our customers enjoy success. They're winning the talent war. They're pulling away from their competitors. And a lot of them attribute it to the quality of people that they're able to hire based on our sourcing and selection strategies in our four markets. Usually it ends up we're invited to participate nationally. We're opening up offices this year and next year. And part of that's because of the leadership development program that we'll talk about later. But IDR is an organically grown company. We are going to grow from within because we have a precise model when it comes to our recruiting and our account management model that we like to adhere to. So, I love what you guys are bringing to the table. And again, all these ideas hinge on the quality of the people that are behind these products. Best salespeople, best marketing in the world, but if the IT departments don't get it done and they don't perform like they're supposed to in that customer site, we got problems. And I'm sure y'all's does, so which is why you've been successful. So that's what we allow our customers to do is, in a nutshell, win the talent war, which aligns with our purpose. You know, IDR, we rolled out our purpose statement last year, and it's to make a positive difference in the lives of our customers. And we do that by helping them win the talent war. Well, we also want to make a positive difference in the lives of our employees, too. And that could be our billable consultants or the people we place by making sure that the opportunity that we have placed them in is going to benefit them beyond putting food on the table and helping them pay the bills, that it's allowed them to grow their careers, add new skills, do things, open up doors to different industries that weren't possible before. Then we've got a real marriage. And ultimately, we want to make a difference in the communities that we are involved with by giving back and just helping the companies and the people in those communities be successful. That fundamental. There's other parts to our purpose statement, too. It's second part is to make a profit, first for our customers and then for ourselves. And then thirdly, to do it in a principled way. We have 14 values on the wall, and they're all in play at all times. It seems pretty simple, but basically we are a service organization, and what's going to separate our service from other people offering the same service is the quality of the person that's offering the service. Is it principle-centered? Is it value-based? Or is that service derived from just trying to close a deal? The customers, our industry is a mature industry, very sophisticated buyers. They'll sniff out a salesperson in a heartbeat, and what they're looking for and appreciate in our industry is true service, looking out for their best interest, of truly being committed to the cause of helping them win the talent war and helping them be successful.
Well, one of the challenges that I know IT faces, because I was in that world for a number of years, is how do you keep good talent? I mean, there's so many things pulling away. I mean, other people, like you said, headhunters are calling. They're offering more money. You've got people that are moving because of skills. You know, I remember back in the day, it was adding vowels to the end of your name. You know, you got your MCSE, and then you wanted your CCNA, and then your CCP and CCIE, and you're always moving somewhere to add the alphabet to your business card. But that's not really what's retaining people. I mean, there's other things. I heard the word culture come up. Mm-hmm. We've heard that a lot. So, back to you guys at Manage Mobility. I mean, what are some of the things that you've done as you're trying to grow? It's important to retain the team. How are you doing that?
Yeah, so this was a great topic for us because, we're very aware of not only our competition, but the industry as a whole. And telecom management has traditionally been, like I said before, a niche market. It's not a huge, well-known part of IT that everybody is aware of. But because it's a niche market, we're able to really key on the right people. There's a very specific skill set because of that. And what we do at Manage Mobility is we like to hire strategically for not only the position, but also the person, meaning that, we look for a lot of years of experience. I came on board, I had 15 years of experience, and they were really looking for that. When we brought Mike on board, he had not only years and years of marketing experience, but also telecom marketing experience specifically. We're about 60 plus employees large at this point, and our growth is near the top of our industry. Most of them have either been recently merged, acquired, downsized, or just went under. And we're hiring at a rate of 2 per month, which is staggering in our industry.
Yeah, and in the last couple of years, too, we've been an Inc. 5000 company. Last year, we were, I think, number 21-something. The year before that, we were 946. So we were in the top 20% nationally, and we were the 25th-ranked company for growth in Atlanta. So if you think of all the businesses in Atlanta, being number the top 25 is pretty stout. So all the growth that we've had, we you know, attributed to the relationships that we've had with our partners. And when it comes to getting those people, you know, we make sure that we bring on the right people. We're not going to have somebody in our call center that's just, you know, a call center employee that's, you know, just there to answer phones. We want to make sure that we have the most educated, talented, experienced people that we can put out there, because they are the face of our customer. Anybody that's ever done sales and marketing, they know that if you're talking about a brand, every person in your company is a touch point to your brand, whether it's a marketing guy, a sales guy, or a customer service guy. So person, I should say. So we want to make sure that everybody we bring in our organization has got the experience, the capabilities, and the talent and the enthusiasm to do their job and do their job well.
Well, I really liked looking at your webpage. Not only did you have your mission statement out there, but the fact that you have your guiding principles out there for people to know about it. And I love number three, teamwork is our stronghold. I mean, that's so powerful. Eric, how do you develop that kind of leadership inside of an organization?
Well, it takes time, and you got to be patient. And what I learned the hard way is it starts at the top. So first, a company has to decide what its brand of leadership is. And at IDR, we call it an authentic leadership, kind of like what Mike and Cameron talk about. So then you have to go into what are going to be the principles that we're trying to accomplish here and we want to align around. So a person that's going to stay at their company needs to value growth. Not all people value growth. Some people would rather have stability. I mean, growth means certain things. I know our company's growing, and it brings with it just things that are different than, a large, stable organization that's just kind of set in its ways. I don't even know what that feels like. But we have to make sure that the person will value what we're trying to accomplish here and that there's alignment. So that leadership development takes time. It starts at the top. It starts with getting real with what we want to accomplish. What are we here to do? Do we believe in growth? Why do we want to grow? What's the purpose of that growth? How are we going to grow? Those are all questions that you have to answer first before you start developing leaders.
Well, even back before that, you make an interesting comment. You say it's all about having an authentic, accountable leader versus a self-serving, counterfeit leader.
Right. So there's many styles of leaders, and there's some, you mentioned it before, where what's happened in the last decade is you have the loyalty and the trust between employee and employer has broken down. So GE has gotten a lot of credit or discredit for this, is that, you know, companies are going to do what's best for them, bottom line. And the days of hanging in there and doing, you know, what it can for the employer or employee are over. So employees turned around and said, well, I'm going to do what's best for me at all times. And so finally, they took responsibility for their own development. So they may go to a company to get those acronyms at the end of their name, but then leave to go somewhere else to actually get that increase that's due to them because of those acronyms. Well, a smart company will say, why don't I offer you the opportunity to get those acronyms and then allow you the opportunity to express or utilize that knowledge? Let's look for a return. Sure, I want to help you get where you want to be if you'll help me get where I want to be. So we kind of go back to that win-win with the organization and the employee, trying to reestablish those bonds. And a leadership development program, you got to have high degrees of trust. Why are we going through all this? Why are we doing these things? Why are we making these changes? What's the point? Well, the point is the IDR wants to grow, and it wants to grow organically, and it wants to give these very people that we're asking to now do more things, read more, journal more, prepare more, classroom, whatever it is. Here's what we're looking for back. Here are the opportunities we're giving to you. Here's the why in it for you. So you've got to get that buy-in. But if it's inauthentic, if they see the leadership is doing one thing and saying another, the whole thing will fall apart very, very quickly. So it starts at the top. In authentic leadership, we say that because in services, and especially in a mature, less of a niche, you're not going to fool anybody. If you're inauthentic, they're going to spot you. They've been sold this product before. They've been sold this service before. In fact, they've probably had some awful experiences, and we better be authentic. We better be real, or we don't stand a chance. And now everything we say we stand for crumbles and we've lost all credibility. And when you've lost that in services, you're dead.
Well, we've heard it said that leadership is really about developing people. I mean, you can teach people new skills and things like that, but you've really got to develop people. At Manage Mobility, I mean, what are some of the programs maybe that you guys have that you've used to develop your team?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with it starts at the top, first off, like Eric said. And secondly, one of the programs that we have is cross-training. I'm a big believer in cross-training, meaning that, you know, each employee is not there just to earn a paycheck and just sit there and do the job they've been hired for. Everyone should be cross-trained in two or three, maybe even five other jobs. Not only does that work well for the company because they have a backup. If someone's sick or they leave or something happens, there are people who are, you know, just as good at that job, but it's also good for the employee. They've now expanded their skill sets well beyond what they were hired to do. You bring somebody in for customer service, they really shouldn't just want to sit there and be a customer service agent all day. They should be learning sales. They should be learning marketing. They should be learning all the way up to executive management.
Well, it's not that they should, Cameron. They'll want to. You know you got
an A player. They should have that drive. Absolutely.
They'll ask for more and more, and you know you made a great hire.
That ambition. Yep. I agree.
And, you know, I guess the question I'm asking is even a little deeper, too, though. You know, again, we're talking about skill sets, learn how to do, you know, different jobs and be able to handle multiple positions. But, you know, I'm just looking at the investment that I see companies making in things like interpersonal skills, people actually being able to deal with people.
Yes.
You know, these are important skill sets, and we're not taught them anywhere else. You don't learn them in school.
That's true.
Yeah, it's live on-the-job training, and some people never get it. I mean, you know, I was kind of opening this to both of you guys. How do you develop those types of skill sets?
So there's a lot of ways to develop them. The reason being is studies show now that IQ will predict success, plays about 15% in terms of if you're going to be successful in a job, that emotional intelligence is about 85% what it takes, you know, determining whether someone's going to be successful or not.
So those are almost two inverse words, right? Mm-hmm. Emotion and intelligence almost work against each other.
Yes, you're right. So those interpersonal skills, well, that's kind of at the surface level, and yes, you can teach somebody tactics. I can teach you how to smile. I can teach you how to always compliment, but a leadership development, true leadership development is going to go a little deeper than that. It's going to look at the character behind the tactics. If the character's not there, that tactic's going to wear off, and the people that you're leading will see through it.
We're back to authenticity again.
Yes, and will be disengaged and start looking for another job.
People have gotten savvy about sniffing out disingenuous people,
right,
haven't they?
Yes. It's to the point, it's beyond savvy. I think people today almost expect it. And, you know, with IDR, we recruit our internal sales team, not our consultants, but our sales and recruiting team are very young, Gen X, Gen Y, and they are a very different group to lead versus the 15, 20-year vets. There's a different set of rules. The younger generation today, 30 and younger, almost expect their leaders to be inauthentic, to the point where I always use the case study of British Petroleum. You know, a couple of summers ago, I think it was two summers, here they are involved in one of the largest ecological disasters this country's ever seen. I'll never forget, I can't remember his name, but the CEO, he thought the cameras were off, and he said, "Man, I just want my life back." And we use that as a case study at IDR because isn't that a shame? What a lack of vision, what a misalignment of values and purpose. It's your job. This is where you earn your paycheck for this very disaster. This is where your company needs you the most. And it's like what an inauthentic individual. He thought he was just there to be a spokesperson and to be in front of the camera, when really we always say at IDR he should have been camped out on that beach. I'm sure the owners of the restaurants and the bed and breakfasts also wanted their life back too. So it's just a sense of duty that wasn't there, and that's so common today in leadership that people almost expect inauthenticity. So at IDR, a leadership development program really instills values, principles like sense of duty, like teamwork, like you said. Those things have got to be there, and they got to be who you really are. If it's a tactic you're employing, people are going to sooner or later, whether usually a crisis will sniff the person out when the stress starts to increase. Sure. When the
that's when the honeymoon's
yes,
over and the real colors come out.
I know my character when I'm under stress. People, you know, I just had my 360 review with the entire company. You know, gave me an evaluation and it was an awesome experience and I love it. I appreciate the feedback. But people said, you know, Eric, there's times when the bombs start going off, we can tell when you're fatigued and we can tell when you're not fatigued, because it's wonderful feedback to allow me, first of all, let them see that I'm open to it, two, that I receive it, and three, that I'm going to work on myself. I'm not perfect, but I'm going to work on myself.
You mentioned this idea, though, of this expectation of people not being genuine. I'm curious over at Managed Mobility, kind of the age perspective of your leadership. Do you find that people are distrustful of the older guard? I mean, here at Renegade, we talk about breaking the rules of conventional thinking. It's often associated with that older wisdom. You know, do you see that with the younger leaders? Is it kind of across the board? What do you guys experience?
Yeah, I'd like to touch on that. I think one of the things that makes Managed Mobility unique is our passion, and that comes from our CEO, Mike McGuire. Mike just turned 40. All the leadership in our
company. Now, don't knock turning 40, because I turned 40.
Yeah, I'm 40.
Yeah, all right,
I'm
okay. 40. I'm just making sure we're in a good room here.
I'm 40 right. myself. But I think that's what makes it unique is you know, especially in a lot of companies, you have executives, and I don't know how they're perceived. But in our organization, passion is what drives productivity. So when our CEO is up there talking about a meeting that he just had, and he's talking to the customer care team, the marketing team, the sales team, the warehouse team, they see that passion. They see the excitement. We have a very good communication policy there. When we go have big meetings with success stories, every single Monday we have a team meeting talking about what's going on in the company. So every single person understands their role. Just like in a basketball team or a football team, each one of us has our individual role that we play. Collectively, if we do our role correctly, we're going to win. And that leadership and that passion comes straight from him, and it's contagious. It's contagious in our sales presentations, our marketing, our customer care, because he sets that bar. He's not just a leader that goes in his office and closes the door and people are afraid of him. He has an open door policy, and he wants his people to be as excited as he is. And if you're not passionate about your products, then nobody's going to be, right? So we just go by his example.
Do you guys do a lot of innovation from within?
Yeah, that's actually part of one of our taglines is innovation. It produces results. It really does, both with technology and with personnel.
Because when you talk about passion, that seems to be more of a driving factor. People seem more motivated about contributing to a greater whole than, say, a monetary compensation or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. They want to be part of something.
Absolutely, I agree. And one of the big benefits I see in working for a small IT firm versus a 5,000 large IT company is everybody's aware of what everybody else is doing. You're not just a number. You're not just a part of a little cog inside of this major wheel. With our company, even with 60 people, and even with explosive growth over the last couple of years, everybody is aware of, you know, what the sales team is doing, what the companies they're talking to, the success stories. But I think the real major benefit to a small company is we can all share with each other not only what we do at work, but our lives as well. We all know each other very well.
So, go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, and even though we're, you know, a relatively small-sized business, that can hold true, too, for big enterprises out there. Just because, you know, you're a large company would... You know, several thousand people doesn't mean that you can't have the same communication flow. I think we've all worked at big companies where we've seen, mm-hmm. Communication discrepancies. And I think that's just it, is communication is the key to everything as far as, what we do.
Well, yeah, that's a great point. I was going to hit that kind of from the other direction, but it's small to big, but it's big to small. I mean, communication is an important, take it down to a relationship. There's only two of you. Two people, and whether it's a personal relationship or a business relationship, communication is essential. So these principles of leadership, communication, emotional intelligence, they play out no matter how big or how small the organization is.
Right. Yeah, that passion that Mike's talking about from his CEO comes from alignment. So his purpose and the company's purpose align. So the guy's fired up, and everybody can tell. That is essential for any organization and can be there. We see some of our larger customers do a very good job of that. It requires discipline, but a large organization can keep that fire. Obviously, the bigger you get, the more challenging. But again, with solid leadership development, you can have that, because Obviously, your CEO can't lead everybody at all times, but he's empowered you. He's shared the vision with you, and now you're carrying that torch out there and doing yourself. That's powerful, and that's, I'm sure, how you guys will keep that passion as you guys grow and what he's counting on.
Yeah, in our office, they just got these three huge actual size surfboards. And it says Management Ability, Ride the Wave. And that's their motto. And they got one of those surfboards in each of their offices. And it's ride that wave of enthusiasm, ride that wave of passion, and ride that wave of being able to solve problems for your customers. We're not out there. I think one of the things that we do well is that we don't do a whole lot of we selling. I think a lot of organizations out there, they talk about what we do, how we do it, you know, versus asking questions, listening to their customers, and solving problems. So like I tell my customers every single day, we're not selling you software. We're not selling you applications. We're helping to listen to you and see what we can do to help, you know, make you more productive and take some of these pain points off your chest.
Now, you know, if you get the actual wave pool installed over there at the office, so you can literally
we're waiting for it.
You'll be the place to work in Atlanta.
Yeah. great for interviewing.
Yeah, a great perk. Yeah.
I want to recruit for you then because it'll be a no-brainer.
Exactly.
I can't promise you great talent, but I can promise you a lot of people.
Fired up people.
Yep. So, lines at the door.
So let's do this. I mean, let's leave our audience with some tips. They've all got their notepads and pens ready. I mean, if there are two or three recommendations that you would have that a business right now, small or large, should really be paying attention to when it comes to developing their team, developing their people, or even develop themselves as a leader, what are some things that they should be doing right now?
Well, I would think one of the first things I would point out to any audience member would be know your industry. You know, our industry is a great example of that because it changes every year. The technology changes, the people change, even the conferences and the trade shows and the channels of selling and networking change year over year. So, you know, learning the industry and adapting to it really helps you, and you look genuine other than just trying to sell the same thing for 15 years.
Cameron, that's awesome because my side is know yourself. So a competent person with flawed character is not an effective leader. There'll still be a mistrust. Consequently, a great guy that is getting obsolete because he doesn't know the industry also will break down trust. It requires both. For sound leadership, you've got to be competent and you got to have sound character. And there's many ways to develop both, but both have to be there to be an effective leader. I'm sure your CEO knows this industry inside and out and is a passionate, enthusiastic person and is working on himself. What a great role model.
Yeah, I've got a couple, actually. I would say the one I say listen, don't hear. And that's just not only to your customers, but into your internal organization as well. What can we do to make our processes better? Ask questions like, you know, how can we help you guys in customer care understand what we're doing on the sales side better? Listening to your customers so you actually, when you go to present your solutions, you're touching on pain points and you're not focused on you. It's not about us. It's about them. And the other thing is lead by example. And that's, you know, whether it's through passion or enthusiasm, if you go to business that way and your people see that and your customers see that, it's a big differentiator. We get that all the time and say, wow, you guys are so passionate about what we do.
Right.
It's because we believe in our product. We believe in our people and we believe in our solutions that we can actually help.
Well, that lead by example is really kind of interesting because some people seem to think that leaders have arrived. Like it was a destination, and they've just somehow reached this point, and they're, oh, I'm a great leader.
Nah.
But leaders never stop working on themselves. They never stop growing. I mean, that's why they're leading, because they're always out front.
Yeah, and I think part of that is keeping an open mind to change. Look at, you know, how businesses are evolving these days with, you know, it used to be websites. Now it's social media and all this other stuff. I mean, it's just staying on top of the trends and keeping an open mind to new things, being able to try new things. I mean,
and you got to be able to make those changes fast.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you have to keep those, you have to make those changes fast while holding true to those principles that you have on that website. Those are the things that will never change. And that's the anchor that we and you base our success on. The innovation will always be there. If you allow people the freedom to take chances, allow them to make mistakes. A players always want to try things, and they accept responsibility, good or bad, for whatever it was. If you can keep that spirit alive, then that your organization will always be improving. Our organization's always improving because we're always innovating. People are expected, please, make mistakes. If you're making mistakes, that's awesome. That's where, hey, we tried this approach, we tried that approach, we tried this. But one thing that never ever changes are those 14 values. Those are always going to anchor us and keep it, be the source of our security, our wisdom, and our guidance and our strength while we innovate. Now, how those values, how your principles manifest themselves may change and evolve, but they'll always be there in some form or fashion.
Yeah, I agree. You can't lose sight of your core principles. In fact, we have all of those on the website that you mentioned on our walls in the office. In fact, Mike O is the one here who wrote those principles up for us.
Yeah, actually, I spent a lot of time writing those things. And back in the day, I worked for Nextel, and Nextel was real big on guiding principles. And a lot of companies have mission statements, right? But it's acting on those mission statements. So your mission statement is, I always say, it's your foundation of your business, like a house. Your guiding principles are actually, how are you going to build that house? How are you going to construct that house, and how are you going to maintain it? So if you say, okay, we're a company of integrity, quality, yada, 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 but how are you doing that? It's your go-to-market strategy of how you're actually going to execute that.
Well, Eric brought up an interesting point, because he said that those 14 principles are front and center every day, and that's the other piece. I've been in companies before, and you ask, just for fun, I like to ask people at the front desk, I'm like, what's your mission, you know, here at the company?
Oh, boy.
They don't know, and it's like posted on the wall of a plaque right beside them. You know, nobody knows these things. I thought it was interesting. We went down to the Ritz-Carlton and had an interview just talking to the doorman, just hanging out, you know, two guys that open the doors, people come in and greet you to the hotel. And they not only knew the values of the company, the guy whips a card out of his pocket that has all the values of the companies printed on the card. And he said, every day we try to focus on one. He goes, today we're doing number 5, and he points to it, and he tells me exactly what it is, knows exactly what this is. And this is a guy that just opens the door. There's so much pride in the value throughout that organization. That's what we should all strive for.
But it comes through. Everybody sees that, and they instantly recognize that company as a leader.
That's because of that.
And back to my point earlier, that's why every single person with an organization is a touch point of their brand.
Yes.
Whether you're a salesperson, a marketing person, or a doorman, it doesn't matter. Every single person is representing their company.
That's right. Yep. That's right.
Great. And then you go into the next phase of that, because there's companies that have them up on the wall, but do you have that alignment with them? Is it actually being practiced? And that takes time, and we're always looking for ways. Misalignments everywhere. I don't think we're ever completely on, but that's up to the leadership to always be, and everybody's job to look for misalignment when it comes to those values.
Yeah, and you have to watch that. That's a little bit human nature too, right?
Well, absolutely.
My favorite is Facebook. I see people on Facebook with the motivational quotes every day, and I'm like,
oh yeah,
come on. I know you're not living this stuff. Trying to get me to, but why don't you read this?
Exactly. Anyway,
you're not kidding.
That's pretty funny. Well, anyway, so great show, guys. I really appreciate the feedback. Before we go, let's make sure that our guests know how to get in touch with you and find out more about your companies if there's a fit for them. So Managed Mobility, I want to know more. How do I find out?
Yeah, you can look us up on managedmobility.com. We're located in Alpharetta. So we're in the process right now of updating our website, so a lot of our stuff is being updated as we speak, but managedmobility.com.
Or you can find us at news.idr-inc.com. We're right here at Perimeter, and I have outstanding customers right now and looking to expand even further in this market. So look us up if you need some help.
All right.
Thanks, Andy.
Well, I appreciate you guys being on today and contributing some insight, and thanks, everyone, for listening today. Hope you learned something about leadership and developing a team, and I hope you can live true to those principles. As always, tune in to listen to us every Thursday at noon as we visit with companies and we talk about things that they are doing a little bit outside of the box to be unique and lead their organizations. Remember, opportunity lies in the impossible, but you have to be willing to break the rules of conventional thinking. Till next time.